From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message called Saints and Sinners Infallibly Identified and Eternally Separated, the fourth in a short series dealing with Romans chapter 8. In verses 5 and 6 of the chapter, Paul draws the distinction between those who are after the flesh and those who are after the Spirit. After the flesh is a reference to the natural unregenerate man, whose mindset is controlled by his fallen nature. By contrast, the man who is after the Spirit is controlled by the Holy Spirit. His main interest is in spiritual things. He seeks to live for Christ, and every area of his life is guided by the gospel. In expounding the teaching of the text, Dr. Cairns emphasizes the radical nature of salvation. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit of God to transform a hopeless sinner into a person who loves the Lord. It is an act of divine creation. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue the message. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought for morning and evening, a collection from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 1. Joshua the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. In Joshua the high priest, we see a picture of each and every child of God who has been made nigh by the blood of Christ, and has been taught to minister in holy things, and to enter into that which is within the veil. Jesus has made us priests and kings unto God, and even here upon earth we exercise the priesthood of consecrated living and hallowed service. But this high priest is said to be standing before the angel of the Lord, that is, standing to minister. This should be the perpetual position of every true believer. Every place is now God's temple, and His people can as truly serve Him in their daily employments as in His house. They are to be always ministering, offering the spiritual sacrifice of prayer and praise, and presenting themselves as a living sacrifice. But notice where it is that Joshua stands to minister. It is before the angel of Jehovah. It is only through a mediator that we poor defiled ones can ever become priests unto God. I present what I have before the messenger, the angel of the covenant, the Lord Jesus, and through him my prayers find acceptance wrapped up in his prayers. My praises become sweet as they are bound up with bundles of myrrh and aloes and cassia from Christ's own garden. If I can bring him nothing but my tears, he will put them with his own tears in his own bottle, for he once wept. If I can bring him nothing but my groans and sighs, he will accept these as an acceptable sacrifice, for he once was broken in heart and sighed heavily in spirit. I myself, standing in him, am accepted in the Beloved, and all my polluted works, though in themselves only objects of divine abhorrence, are so received that God smelleth a sweet savor. He is content, and I am blessed. See then the position of the Christian, a priest, standing before the angel of the Lord.
Thank you.
The selection you have just heard is part of a CD entitled Our Song of Praise, featuring the piano artistry and arrangements of Joan J. Pinkston, who serves as pianist at Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. For over 40 years, Joan has taught music theory, hymn playing, and composition to thousands of Christian young people at Bob Jones University. During that time, she has sought to instill in them a Christ-centered view of sacred music. Joan's philosophy of sacred music is summed up in her words, "There is really no such thing as sacred music without words. It is the Word of God that draws a Christian closer to Christ. Only when biblical thoughts are expressed in words, as with a psalm, a hymn, or a spiritual song, can any music be considered sacred. When the message of the words and the impact of the music are in harmony, the greatest communication takes place." Our Song of Praise features 13 of Joan's arrangements of such favorite hymns as Jesus Paid It All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, and Be Thou My Vision. This beautiful and inspiring CD would make a wonderful Christmas gift for family and friends. Copies of Our Song of Praise may be obtained from Faith Free Presbyterian Church. The price is $15 per CD, which includes postage and handling. Simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. If you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Contact us today for your copy of Our Song of Praise.
Christ to a Christian is like water to a thirsty man in the desert. He's like food to a famished soul. Set Christ before a Christian and his heart is drawn out after him. You see, he minds the things of the Spirit. He minds the gospel. And he cannot and he will not depart from that gospel. And I want you to notice this, and this is the mark of a Christian. A Christian cannot divorce that gospel from any part of his life. You've heard of people, and I've heard of people, who will tell you now, well, that's for church. That's okay on Sunday. But out there in the hard-nosed world of business, that doesn't work. Well, if it doesn't work, you don't have the gospel. If you've got to be one man in business and another man in church, there's something radically wrong. A Christian cannot park the gospel when he goes home and live in his home without the gospel. He can't park the gospel in his business and do business like the ungodly. Can't do that. This is the whole thing. The things of the Spirit, the gospel of Christ, is all-encompassing in his life. It's governing, it's controlling. It is his delight. To use the words in Matthew 16, he savors the gospel. It fills his heart and his mind, and he draws from it all his comfort and all his strength. This is the thing. He minds the things of the Spirit. And this mind of the Spirit, this what's called spiritually minded here, is life and peace. The mindset of the Holy Spirit in a Christian produces a state of life quickened together with Christ, of being reconciled to God, being accepted in the Beloved, and therefore it gives him the assurance of everlasting glory. Now those are the terms. You may think I've started to preach. I haven't. I've simply told you what the text means. Remember I said a few weeks ago, a preacher has to know what the text means before he can start to preach about it. Well, we have now got what the text means. But I only say that to scare you. I'm going to be brief. Let's think of the teaching. Number one. There are just two kinds of people in the world. Wonderful how men love to divide people up. They divide them by class. They divide them by culture. They divide them by color. They divide them by their societal position, whether they're rich or they're poor. They divide them by education. Men divide into various groups. But God recognizes just two kinds of people in the world. Paul has been greatly taken up with that in this epistle. He speaks of the justified and the condemned. Just one or the other. He talks about those who are in Adam and those who are in Christ. He speaks of those who are under law and those who are under grace. He speaks of the old man and he speaks of the new man. Not a new nature, a new man. The old man is what you were in Adam. The new man is what you are in Christ. That's the division that Paul is making. Now he's talking about this division. It's the very same one. And he says, here are some who are after the flesh. They are in the flesh. And there are others and they're after the Spirit. They are in the Spirit. There's the great divide. There are two kinds of people. Regenerate and unregenerate, saved and lost, justified and condemned, in Christ or in Adam, new men by grace or old men by the corrupt nature that has come from their first parent. There's the great divide that's running through humanity today, and that's the divide that's running through this church tonight. Now there is a very clear way. Second great teaching of the text. A very clear way of discerning our spiritual state. And it's declared by your mindset. Paul says if you're after the flesh, your mindset is the mindset of the flesh. If you're still in your sin, your mindset is the mindset of the flesh. What does he mean? He says you are controlled by, interested in, pursuing the interests of only the old, unregenerate, degenerate nature of corruption and sin that you got by birth. That's the mindset of the flesh. No matter how cultured a man becomes, no matter how educated he becomes, No matter how rich he becomes, he never rises above that level. But on the other hand, he says the mark of those who are regenerated is that they're after the Spirit. Controlled by the Spirit, the whole mindset is different. What they mind are the things of the Spirit of Christ. And when you look at it that way, you can cut through an awful lot of man-made garbage and verbiage. So many people, and they have religion, but that's all. They have a religion of externals. They may profess to be evangelical. They may profess to be reformed. They may profess to be fundamental. Whatever the profession, it's all on the surface. Many of the reformed like to poke fun. And actually, it's a whole lot more than fun. Sometimes with bitter mockery. At the evangelical and reformed, or the fundamentalists who will have people walk up and down the aisle, kneel at a penitent form, whatever. It's beneath the dignity of the reformed. But those same reformed have a religion in many cases that is so ritualistic, so empty. Baptize that baby. From there on, all he needs to do is recognize he is a child of the covenant and he's in. I want to tell you, God's salvation is not in externals. Though it will touch the externals. But God's salvation is a deep and powerful, radical change. The whole core of his being, what controls how he thinks, how he judges, how he looks at things, is now the Holy Spirit and what he has in Christ. Now, if a man's after the flesh, this text shows that that's a state of utter and awful ruin. I tried to take the time to prove this to you. It's to be without God. It's to be without Christ. It's to be without the Holy Spirit. And Paul says to the Ephesians, that's to be without hope. You leave God out. You leave Christ out. You leave the Holy Spirit out. You begin to understand what it means when it says you're dead. This goes a whole lot deeper than just outward actions. This is the alienation of the soul from the life of God. And this is what brings you under sentence of death. Now you look around today, saints and sinners can be mixed up very easily. They can be sitting in the same church, one beside the other. You may mistake one for the other. You remember the Lord Jesus said, that there was wheat sowed in the field. The enemy came and sowed tares. One looked so much like the other, he said, let both grow to the harvest. I want to tell you, that's a scary thought. That is a scary thought. A scary thought for any preacher. You look out in a congregation. We can't read hearts. We're not the judge of conscience or soul. Look out in a congregation. Those words ring in your conscience. Let both grow to the harvest. They're not all going to heaven. They're all wheat. It's easy to mistake one for the other. You see, if somebody looks like a Christian, walks like a Christian, talks like a Christian, tells me he is a Christian, I can't see what he really minds. I have to accept him as a Christian. God doesn't. See, the Lord penetrates beyond the outward, beyond the lips of profession, beyond mere behavior. There's something that distinguishes a believer from an unbeliever that not only distinguishes them now, but it will divide them for all eternity. To be after the flesh is death. To be after the Spirit is life. One leads to doom forever. The other leads to glory forever. The ruin of sinners is great. That leads me to say that for a sinner to be saved takes a work so radical that only God the Holy Spirit can perform it. You see, salvation is more than people deciding quotes for Christ. Now, don't misunderstand me. When God works a work of conviction and grace in a person, the first proof of regenerating grace is that that person freely, fully, totally decides for Christ, chooses Christ, accepts Christ, receives Christ, and is totally from that moment all for Christ. But salvation is more than a human decision. It's more than a decision for people to live better. It's more than a decision for people to accept a certain set of doctrines and accept a certain code of behavior. Now, see if people will accept a certain set of doctrines. You can't be saved and deny the Bible to be the Word of God. You can't be saved and deny the Holy Trinity. You can't be saved and deny the deity of Jesus Christ. You can't be saved and deny the blood atonement or the bodily resurrection. You can't be saved without accepting certain truths that are absolutely fundamental. Christians will accept a certain code of behavior. I abominate that corruption of Christian profession that makes it a glory to be as like the world as possible. Salvation is more than a decision to live in acceptance of a certain set of doctrines and codes of behavior. Salvation is a deep inward miracle of the Spirit of God. 2 Corinthians 4:6 likens it to the creation. We read in Genesis chapter 1 that the earth was without form and void. The Spirit of God moved upon the waters, and God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And Paul takes that statement and he says, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's a new creation. Now only God can create. Only God can create. Never forget that. And only God can save. That inward miracle, a new creation, the act of the Holy Spirit of God in bringing to life a soul that was dead, making that soul a new creature in Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.